pursuant to Government Code Section 54953E and the state declared emergency, this meeting of the Board of Library Trustees will be conducted exclusively through teleconference and Zoom video conference. The COVID-19 state of emergency continues to directly impact the ability of the members to meet safely in person and presents imminent risks to the health of attendees. Therefore, no physical meeting location will be available. Please be mindful that the teleconference will be recorded as any Board of Library Trustees meeting is recorded, and all other rules of procedure and decorum will apply for Board of Library Trustees meetings conducted by teleconference or video conference. This meeting will be conducted in accordance with the Brown Act, Government Code Section 54953. Any member of the public may attend this meeting. Questions regarding this matter may be addressed to Eve Franklin, Administrative Secretary. The Board of Library Trustees may take action related to any subject listed on the agenda. Okay, Eve, could you call the roll, please?
Amy Roth.
I'm here.
Sophie Hahn.
Present. Sorry, couldn't find the button.
Diane Davenport.
Here.
Beverly Green.
Here.
And John Soloski, who I don't see.
Okay. Next on the agenda is ceremonial matters. I would like to adjourn tonight's meeting in honor of Amy Tavistock, a beloved library employee of almost 19 years who passed away on October 6th. Excuse me. Next, we have public comment. Is anybody signed up, Eve?
Or? No one has raised their hand yet.
Okay. Well, then let's move on. We have comments from library unions. Do we have representatives here or waiting?
I don't see anyone.
Okay. Comments from the Board of Trustees. Let's see. Diane, do you have a comment?
Yeah, I'd just like to say that I really enjoyed the race training that Dr. Lori Watson did. And I feel really lucky that I got to come and be part of the larger staff group. And I had just an amazing time that day. I learned a lot. I got to interact with staff people who I hadn't ever met before. And I thought overall it was just a wonderfully inclusive, supportive, thoughtful day. And I just want to really thank the administration for including us in that. And I look forward to going forward with more race work ahead. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Diane. Sophie, you're here, even though I cannot see you, correct? John, do you have something, a comment to make? Why don't you be next? Oh, there.
Yeah, thank you. I'm sorry. I actually just wanted to, first of all, I did express my condolences in a note, but I wanted to further reinforce that. And we've had a very tragic loss in the library, and I'm glad that we are closing in memory. And I hold friends and family and colleagues in my heart. So I wanted to say that. I just also wanted to let my colleagues know that I am having a lot of eye strain from the amount of time that I spend in front of screens. And so, unlike my usual, I am going to have my picture off and not be looking at the screen, but I am here. I am present I am listening, and I will figure out how to deal with the buttons and respond more quickly when you're looking for me. Thanks. Okay.
Thank you. John, do you have a comment to make?
No comment tonight. Thank you.
Okay. Beverly, do you have a comment?
I would just like to echo Diane Davenport's comments regarding the race training that took place. I went on a different Friday, but it was excellent. And again, I want to express my appreciation for the staff initiating this action and having this particular session. It was excellent. Thank you.
Okay, I will join in that. Those sentiments. I attended the training and it was great on many levels. I got to meet staff that I didn't know before, and it was eye-opening on a number of levels, and I'm looking forward to continuing that good work. And I thank the staff that put that whole idea in motion. Okay, we can move on to the consent calendar. The items are the minutes, delaying the opening of Central and Branches 1 hour later for staff meetings, our meeting schedule, and the holiday schedule, which are all in your packet. Can I have a motion to accept the consent calendar? No.
Yeah, I can move the consent calendar.
Thank you, John. Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
Thank you. Call the roll, please.
Amy Roth?
Yeah, aye.
Sophie Hahn?
Yes.
Diane Davenport?
Yes.
Beverly Green?
Yes.
And John Soloski?
Aye.
Thank you.
Before we go on, Amy, I think the date on that schedule for Lincoln's birthday, February, the first Monday or second Monday in February is wrong on here. It's February 12th here, and I believe it's actually the 13th next year. So we should just make sure that.
You're correct.
Okay.
Thank you.
Just quickly change it and we'll be fine.
Okay. So it's actually the 13th?
It's yes. Monday the 13th, yes.
Okay, Monday the 13th, okay. Thank you, Diane.
Of course.
Okay, we have accepted the consent calendar as modified. Next, we have on our action calendar nominations for the selections of board president and vice president. Are there things to discuss?
I think just really briefly, I wanted to comment that in the past, this might've been handled at one meeting, both right. The call for nominations and also the election process. And when we went through the the creation of the bylaws, we basically changed the procedure so that there would be one meeting for nominations, for the call for nominations, and then a follow-up meeting for the election. Generally, that would take place at the September meeting and the October meeting. And I just wanted to comment that we are 1 month behind and we'll get on schedule next year, but basically it means that tonight's meeting represents the call for nominations, and the November meeting will be when we have our actual elections of officers. I do see, and I just want to clarify, Trustee Davenport, you're no longer raising your hand, correct?
No, I am raising my hand.
Oh, you are.
Well, okay. When we go on with this.
Okay.
But go ahead. If you have something to say, just go right ahead.
I don't have anything additional to say. If Trustee Roth, if you want to open the floor for nominations.
Okay, and I see Diane's hand and I also see John's hand. Diane, could you go first?
Yes, I'd like to nominate Amy Roth for having a second term as president of the Board of Library Trustees.
Thank you. John?
And this is nominations for both positions, or are we taking president first?
I think we're supposed to do them one at a time.
Okay. All right. Then I'll hold off.
Oh, okay. Does anybody else have their hand up? I don't see another hand. Okay. I feel like we're in a line and everybody else took that step back, right? Okay, well, thank you, Diane. I would love to serve another year. And I don't think we need to, I'm not sure what we need to do. Do we need to vote on the nomination, Tess?
No.
No.
No, we
does
don't.
Anybody want to place their own name or somebody else's name in nomination for president? I don't see hands. Okay. Okay. Any discussion that people want to have? All right. We can now accept nominations for vice president. John, I see your hand.
Yes, thank you. So let's continue with the same officers. I would nominate Sophie Hahn as vice president.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Would anybody else like to nominate a candidate, either themselves or one of the other trustees? I don't see any hands. So I have been nominated for president and Sophie Hahn for vice president. Do we need to formalize that in any way, or is it just, it stands? Okay, good, very efficient. Okay, and thank you. Tess, you're up for the gift and donation policy update.
I'm sorry, it looks like Sophie has her hand raised.
I can't, okay. Thank you, Eve. I don't know how we're supposed to see that, but go ahead. Sophie?
Thank you. I just wanted to thank you, Trustee Solowski, and I wanted to say that I accept the nomination and would be delighted to continue serving with President Roth.
Thank you. Thank you, Sophie. Okay, I guess now we can move on to the gift and donation policy update.
Thank you very much. As we have been doing, we continue to review all of the library's policies, which is one of the critical roles of the Board of Library Trustees, is to review library policies and make sure that we're providing updates in a timely way. And I think shortly I will provide a summary of all of the policies that we've reviewed over the past year, because I think that we've actually managed to cover a lot of different policies. But tonight we wanted to revisit the gift policy again, because this is a longstanding policy that has not been reviewed for some time. And I believe it was last updated July of 2011. And although there are not a lot of recommended changes, we just wanted to make sure that there were a couple of pieces that were addressed that I think are important. And again, I also want to emphasize that at this point in time, most gifts in the form of actually monetary donations, most people providing these kinds of gifts are referred, of course, to the friends or to the foundation. And it's actually very rare that monetary donations just come directly to the library, but there are times when that happens. And it's, of course, important for us to have an updated policy on hand for how we manage those situations when they do arise. The other thing that can occur is people may donate different types of objects to the library. Of course, we do have a robust history room collection, and you know, at times that might be a point of contact. We are looking forward to, you know, continuing to build that collection through in the future, defining a scope so that we have a clear sense of what kind of service we're providing through the history room. Another thing that occurs with some frequency is donation of, or the people raising questions around donation of artwork. And I wanted to specifically address that issue within the gift policy revision, because as can happen sometimes, the current policy that the library has with respect to this doesn't actually address the Berkeley Municipal Code and what the Berkeley Municipal Code actually says with respect to donations of art. Because, of course, we do have a Civic Arts Commission, and there is an article or section of the Berkeley Municipal Code that is included in tonight's board packet that very specifically addresses the role of the Civic Arts Commission. And one of the changes that I'm proposing that be incorporated into the library's gift policy is an explicit reference to this as the standing law that needs to govern how these situations are handled, and recommending a change with respect to referring donations of art specifically to the Civic Arts Commission by way of the staff that manage those types of interactions with the public, because it's actually stipulated in the Berkeley Municipal Code that that is what should be occurring with donations of art to the city. The city and the library, albeit financially somewhat independent, is still a city entity. And so I wanted to make sure that the policy at the library is actually reflective of what we are called to do by the municipal law. So I wanted to call out that change just because it hasn't been included in the policy before. Most of the other changes I recommended are not substantive. Some of it is more just clarifying language, because I think it's really important that the policy state unambiguously that we don't accept gifts of that variety, which I think that there's been some ambiguity in the past that has created challenges in interpretation. Another thing that I wanted to mention is that toward the end of the policy statement, we talk about, sorry, I'm just now referring to the document itself. One of the recommended changes is that instead of the approval of the board, that the language change to the approval of the directory or the director of library services under certain circumstances, and with the approval of the director of library services, the library may collaborate with the Berkeley Public Library Friends or Foundation to initiate a larger scale library campaign for fundraising. And I felt that that was a more appropriate change, that was an agreement that should be entered into with the approval of the director. We did maintain the language, or I proposed to maintain the language, that such a campaign may have a donor recognition component that includes memorializing the gift only if approved by the board. So I did maintain that be subject to board approval. So that's the only other really substantive change that's recommended here, but I wanted to call those changes out and now just open up the floor for any questions with respect to these proposed revisions.
I do not see anybody's hand up for questions. Am I missing anyone? I'd like to double check.
I don't see anyone.
Thanks, Eve. Okay, still no hands. Okay, are we ready to approve a resolution adopting the revised gift and donation policy?
I will make that resolution, Amy.
Thank you, Diane. Do I have a second? Oh, John, your hand is up, or did
yeah,
you?
Yeah, thank you. So, yeah, Diane's was up first, so that's fine. Yeah, okay. I'll second that. And thank you, Tess and others. This seems pretty straightforward. It's pretty clear. Thank you for putting this together for us. Mm-hmm. I appreciate it. We appreciate it.
We do. Okay. Can we call the roll?
Amy Roth?
Aye.
Sophie Hahn?
Aye.
Diane Davenport?
Yes.
Beverly Green?
Yes.
And John Soloski?
Aye.
Thank you.
All right. That was straightforward. Good. Next would be information reports. Unless the order has changed, I have adult services update from Perlita Payne. There she is.
Hello.
Hello.
Let me just pull up my slides here. Okay, can everyone see that? Yes, okay.
Yes.
Great, thank you. All right, good evening. My name is Perlita Payne, and I am the supervisor at Central Adult Services. I've been with the team for almost 2.5 years, and it is a pleasure every day to be around each and every one of my colleagues. The Central Adult Services team currently consists of 12 total staff, including myself. The members are Janine Badon, Casey Bryan, Jen Obrotsky, Galea Carswell, Jeff Finley, Fabiola Hernandez Soto, Amy Kuo, Molly Nichols, Kelsey Ockert, Sonam Wangmo, and Julia Wiswell. We have many new faces on the team as a result of our recent hirings. Janine just joined the team on October 11th as a library specialist too. Sonam, who used to work at North, joined us as a result of being promoted to library specialist too in mid-September. Molly, Jenna, Fabiola, and Kalea joined us at the end of May as librarian ones. Gabby Fernandez will also be joining the team later this year as a library specialist too. The new hires came from other public libraries and academic libraries. During their onboarding, they each got to spend time with their colleagues who have been at adult services for some time by shadowing them at the reference desk, talking to them about how they created their programs, or getting a tour of the Berkeley History Room and the Art and Music floor. We're all glad for our new coworkers, and everyone's been really welcoming and open to helping with onboarding. We continue to help patrons in person at the reference desk and over the phone. When we reopen the Art and Music floor on November 7th, this will be another service desk that we will staff. We also continue to create programs for our community. We create the bulk of adult programming for the library system. Along with other colleagues, we are also doing outreach at community events around town, and we keep working on identifying organizations to collaborate with. We also have our work in collection, where we select and deselect materials and have been assigned to different parts of that collection or the collection. Fabiola has been working on the Spanish collection at Central and continues to be in conversation with the branches about theirs. Molly just finished ordering for the 500s and nonfiction for Central. Kelsey and Kalea have been working together to select adult graphic novels for the library system. Jenna is working on a list of titles for English learners. We also have the Berkeley History Room that Jeff continues to work on. We're involved in committees such as the Safety Committee, Summer Reading, Free Comic Book Day, the Racial Justice Advisory Group, RJAG, and JLMC. We're continuing to create and post on our social media pages with help from Amy Reeder. We provide staffing support to other units in our library system as needed. We continue to seek out trainings and professional development. Recently, we attended the bystander and microaggression intervention trainings provided by CARE and Right to Be. We hope to use these tools in working with patrons and with each other. We have also attended the racial equity training with Dr. Watson, and some of us will attend the upcoming deeper dive. I want to speak a little more about programs. These are the programming goals that we look at when we're considering a program to add. And I want to go over each one because I think they're important. They're certainly very important to our work at Adult Services. So the first one is develop relationships in the community by engaging with people we are currently not serving and meeting people where they are. Through relationships, co-create more community-led programming. Cultivate community resiliency and stewardship through do-it-yourself programming with an asset-based community focus. Engage in discussions of intersectional equity issues and initiatives with attention to the intersection of concerns such as race, class, and disability. Foster social, emotional learning and connection for all community members. Respond to community interest in music, culture, arts, authors, and literature. Build capacity for community recovery, wellness, and health. Support interest of entrepreneurs and small business people to sustain their livelihoods under significantly changed conditions due to the pandemic. Engage with community interest in and knowledge of science, technology, engineering, art, mathematics, and related fields. Offer opportunities to learn how to use technology for self-empowerment. Some of our programs are now in person and some are still on Zoom. Some of these programs that have happened so far include the Berkeley Business Bootcamp, also known as BBB, which is a collaboration with the Berkeley Chamber of Commerce. Now in its third year, we have committed to continuing to support small businesses and entrepreneurs by providing financial support to the series of talks put together by the chamber so that it's free for everyone and not just the members of the chamber. We now have three book clubs, Leamos Autoras, our Spanish book club, BPL book club, and the Berkeley and Portland LGBT plus book club. To center equity, we provide book giveaways to participants of the Spanish book club and the BPL book club. ESL conversation classes now happen twice a week and the classes keep growing. We continue to have resume writing classes. With lawyers in the library, the spaces fill up fast. And so we're hoping to expand this from 3 times a month to possibly 4 or 5 times a month soon. Tech Help has gone back to the way it was pre-pandemic, meeting in person twice a week, one day in the morning and another time in the afternoon later in the week with 2 staff persons leading each class. Introduction to Python is a volunteer-run coding class. Popping the Science Bubble is a monthly program featuring graduate students from Cal who are in the sciences and they share their current research. Guided visualization with Reiki energy is a series provided by practitioner Nadia Mitchell, who's in upstate New York. Decoding Chinese Opera is a series of talks by presenter John Lowe, which used to be a 2-part series and has now expanded to 3 parts. Pushed Up the Mountain is a documentary film focused on the global effects of climate change. This program will allow patrons to stream the film for 2 weeks, as well as attend an on-site viewing right before a Q&A with the film producer, hosted by the students from Popping the Science Bubble. Knitting Group is an in-house program run by Julia Wiswell. Participants are encouraged to bring their projects that they're currently working on. Scene Making was a collaboration between Jenna Brodsky and Central Teen Librarian Brianna Melly that resulted in a program for teens and another one for adults, as well as a YouTube tutorial. Make a Manifest Box was a do-it-yourself crafts program with a wellness component that encouraged participants to visualize and manifest their hopes and dreams. This was brought to us by staff member Kalea Carswell. And finally, the in-person waltz lecture in Mandarin from over the weekend was coordinated by Amy Kuo. And I've heard early reports that it was a very well-attended program. We are planning a music and art-focused set of programs celebrating the art music floor once we reopen that space to the public. Please stay tuned for these. Let's see. I have asked a couple of staff members from Adult Services to join me here tonight, and they each will talk about their program. We'll start with Jeff Finley, who will tell us a little more about the Berkeley Business Bootcamp. And then he will be followed by Fabiola Hernandez Soto, who will talk to us about the Spanish Book Club. And then Casey Bryan will close it out. So I'm going to advance the slides. If you can just let me know when you would like me to move forward with your slide as applicable. Thanks.
Think I'm number one, yes. Hi, my name is Jeff Findley. Since 2014, I've been an adult services librarian with the adult services department at Central. I'm here to talk to you about briefly about a program that I've been intimately involved in since its inception in 2020, and that's the Berkeley Business Bootcamp. Like everyone in the world, we here at BPL scrambled for personal safety in 2020. Upon emerging from sequester a few months later, however, in addition to the many wonderful programs that Berkeley Library has undertook, we attempted to fight COVID as best we could by supporting Berkeley's small business community. We decided to partner with the Berkeley Chamber of Commerce in this effort. The chamber had already collated a respectable list of the most basic resources needed for small business owners in the community. Things like pertaining to the PPP loans and rules, the regulations, the laws. The goal with this program was to go beyond that level of help and provide 1-hour workshops or lectures on how businesses could, one, survive in the new environment, and then two, to thrive in this new environment. The classes are all free to anyone who wants to join us on Zoom, and we post them on YouTube. You can just search for Berkeley Business Bootcamp on that platform. The classes have been well received and are successful. After the initial 6 courses in 2020, we followed this up with another 6 courses in 2021. And now we are embarking on a third season, if you will, of 6 more courses this fall and winter. I will share with you a list of the titles just to give you an idea of the types of subjects that we are helping people with. Managing a crisis. Obviously, we did that one right after we were just trying to open up in 2020. How to raise funding from supportive values-aligned investors. Executive briefing on cybersecurity. Why you need a business plan and how to write one. Marketing and competitors using Reference USA. That's a library database that we pay for. Increasing business viability on Google. Finding your profitable niche. How to use networking for business growth, how to create an impactful social media campaign, leadership workshop, a value of green business certification, networking for success in a virtual world, and lastly, human resources for the small business. All of these are brought to you or brought to the community free of charge by the generous support of the Friends of the Berkeley Public Library. Thank you.
All right. Hi, my name is Fabiola Hernandez Soto. I'm one of the new librarians. I'm on my 5th month now at Berkeley Public in Adult Services. And so I actually I'm one of the co-leaders of Leamos Autoras, also with one of our community members, Liz Maria Arevalo Hidalgo. So they joined us from Berkeley to form this club. So the Spanish Book Club, if you can advance, Perlita. The Spanish Book Club is a year-long book club, which focuses on Latinx women authors from different Latin countries, Latin American countries. And it was first launched on July 8th. So the book club meets once in the in-person, the first Friday of the month. And then we meet again on the last Friday via Zoom. So we meet twice per month. And each month we focus around different topics. Some cover social and political themes, others LGBTQ+, mysticism, dystopian future. So they're all kind of ranging from different things, sometimes autobiographical. And during our in-person meetings, what we like to talk about is narration, language, protagonist, how that specific book compares to the previous one from, you know, the author of a different country. And then, you know, we allow them the time between our Zoom to kind of read the material, and then we finalize our discussion on Zoom. The library has been really great about providing 15 copies that we give away to our participants. It's been really well received. We actually run out within the first week of the month. And so I actually distribute those 15 copies, you know, between Central and the branches, and also provide them some author bio. That way participants or anyone who's interested can kind of see the book and see what we're reading for that month. And this allows patrons to have flexibility if they can attend the in-person or virtual. Attendance in person does fluctuate depending, you know, it can be between 9 to 15 people. Our first meeting, we actually had 15 people in July. And that's kind of fluctuated between that. For Zoom, we get about 25 people. This past month, we had up to 40, 42. So we actually were able to get the author for last month's book to join us via Zoom from New York. We were reading the book Huiltras. And so it's an author from Peru. So it was really well received. So in order to kind of allow more people to attend, we're looking at changing the time. So we meet at 4 p.m. So we're still learning about what's working and what's not. So we're looking at starting a little bit later to allow more folks to attend coming right after work. So we want to make sure we accommodate, you know, the patrons in our community to be able to come and join us. September 29th was our first author. It was really well received. So it's kind of allowed us, this opportunity to have more guests join us. We're actually getting another person this month, a professor from UC Berkeley, who is well-versed in Caribbean literature. So we're going to kind of start marketing for that to get folks to join us via Zoom. So it's going to be October 28th. And it's open to anyone, so anyone can join. This has been really well received. We get a lot of comments from our patrons who come to the desk and let, you know, whoever is there, let them know that they really appreciate having this book club specifically. It's all in Spanish, so we're communicating in Spanish the whole time. And I've actually even seen an uptick in just people even looking at our permanent collection, which I'm part of refreshing and buying new material. So I've seen an increase in that visibility as well. So it's been really well received all around. And yeah, people seem really excited to have this opportunity at Berkeley. So I'm really excited to be a part of it. Thank you.
All right. Hi, everyone. I'm Casey Bryan. I have worked at the adult services for about 3 years now, and I'm going to talk to you about the ESL Conversation Club that I run with Linda Sakamoto Jahnke. Next slide, please. ESL actually had started in person. When I first started, I took over the club. We kind of had a whole room in the community meeting room where we'd have probably 30 people join us with a bunch of volunteers. There were snacks. We held it at both Central on Wednesdays and West on Fridays. And at the time we got a lot of patrons because we were close to the adult school. There were visiting scholars from UC Berkeley and a lot of the local language schools would come here. Next slide. So obviously in 2020, we had to go online, which was a big move to Zoom. We started in September 2020, and we had started with a small pilot group, which had, we just sent out to people that we had in our email tree, and sure enough, everyone showed up. We were getting 20 people regularly. Now we are actually at where we offer it twice a week. We offer it on Tuesdays in the mornings and Wednesdays in the afternoons. Next slide. So how it works is usually it's an hour and a half program. Usually we hold the first 15 minutes for casual conversation while everyone gets their microphone on, their video on. We talk about our weekends. Sometimes like we did a topic of summer. So we had everyone go around their house and try to fetch sunglasses to put on. We've done, show us what food you have. Usually it's pretty casual, and then we do introductions. And as of this year, we started adding where we open with a commonality for humanity and peace with the efforts in Ukraine. Following that, we do the topic presentation. That's always really fun. We have done random topics from things like pet peeves to sleeping to advertisements and hobbies, technology and voting. And we always get a really great dialogue going, surprisingly, no matter what the topic is. And then we break into small groups of about 3 or 8, depending on the size. Some days we have maybe 10 people, some days we have 30. You never quite know, and we haven't quite figured out a pattern of that yet. each group is led by a volunteer or a staff member. To facilitate the discussion. We've had some great volunteers, and whenever we run out of volunteers, we sometimes even just pick participants that have been around forever, and they actually lead their own groups. In fact, right here, Toko is one of our old regulars that had been in person and felt very comfortable leading groups whenever we needed her to. Next slide. So in the blue dots, you can see I started earlier this year. I wish I had started from the beginning, but I started marking where our participants were from. There's only one dot for each country. I didn't try to put as many possible, but we've had people from, we get a lot from Brazil, Belarus, Japan, China. So we get a very wide variety of different cultures that all come to share. And next slide. So all the ones in red or purple are where they are Zooming from. So as you can see, we thought this was just going to be this little local area, but it is all around the world has suddenly joined us. And a lot of them are actually old participants from in person. One from Brazil said that she had found out about this. She had moved back to Brazil about 3 years ago. And sure enough, she had gotten an email from the Berkeley newsletter, and she joined us that way. We had a participant that was a visiting scholar, and he moved back to Taiwan, and every morning at 7 a.m. he would put his phone into his drink holder and call us on his way to work. And we actually had a teacher in Ukraine about 2 years ago who decided that she was going to share our email with her whole school. And now every year she emails us, can I share your email with this whole school? And in fact, we got an email from her recently that said, with hope and love, despite everything that we believe, that the sky will be safe again and peace will be peaceful again. Hope to come back to ESL meetings soon and see you all. We get a lot of Ukrainian students in there. We have one that even said, this club reduces my stress. Not only do we get people, but we also get sisters, brothers, dogs, cats, snakes. We have a student that every time he comes on, he immediately takes his computer over and goes, do you want to see the snake today? We have a lot of people that, you know, they connect. We had one that lived in Half Moon Bay and would get her sister in China to join on so that they can both join in together all the way across the country. And all of them love to change their background to the somewhere in Berkeley that they once visited, just so they can say, I'm still part of this community. And that's it. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thank you so much for having my team and I over to your meeting. We really appreciate your continued support. And if you have any questions, we might have some time here, but here's how you can reach me. And this picture does not include everybody at Adult Services, of course, but it's a lovely picture from the summer.
Okay, so I'm just going to jump in. My hand is up. So I think these are excellent programs, and I want to commend you on them, both the in-person and the Zoom. I think these are just really, really great. And then do you promote them also via the social media, the social media platforms that we have at the library also?
Yes, we have social media, we have our library events calendar, we even have people making paper flyers and sending them to different places. We're still doing that. And I know Fabiola has been posting them at different restaurants around town where there might be Spanish speakers. Wherever we can find a place, we try to.
That's great. That's great. Sounds great.
Thank you.
Okay, Sophie, I see your hand.
Hi. Well, this is a truly overwhelming presentation. I mean, it's just amazing the work that's being done and the care and the thoughtfulness and the comprehensiveness and the inclusion. I just want to say that I'm stunned in the very best way by this presentation. And I want to thank the presenters and for all the work they do and for all the other library staff who support and participate in making these programs possible. I just want to thank them as well. Certainly, we have so much to be proud of as a library, the quality and reach of our programming, the creativity, the heart, the meaning, it's just really, I don't know. If you read the news all the time, you forget that so much good is happening every day. And it's just very heartening to get the details and know what our library's impact is and what we are offering the community. So I wanted to start with that. I did have sort of a question comment on the business classes. And I was wondering if we coordinate with the City of Berkeley Economic Development Department. And I know that the Berkeley Adult School also has classes for people starting businesses or for people who run businesses. And I just wondered if there's opportunities for us to co-market and kind of present sort of a cohesive package to people who own businesses or are thinking of starting businesses so they really know all the resources that are available. I was curious about that.
We actually started off working with the Office of Economic Development. And Jeff can speak more to this because I think his work was actually more direct with them. So they're the ones who connected us with the chamber. So it was, and the chamber was not aware that the public library cared about small businesses. So it was a surprise that they were interested in these things, that we were interested in these things. In terms of the adult school, I have not reached out to the adult school yet. Unfortunately, we are at this place right now where it seems like we're in silos. So we need to like come together and make connections. And I'm happy to make those connections.
We are siloed generally, but I think COVID has really entrenched the siloing. So there's certainly no critique there. But I think that from the perspective of a member of the public or a business owner, or a potential business owner, the more that all the different resources in Berkeley can be linked and they can kind of understand, well, if I go here, I can have this. And if I go there, I get that. I think the more we can make that sort of turnkey and maybe as a library, since we are information is our business, maybe we are also a good place to be a hub, not just for providing our own services, but for keeping track of all the other resources that are available in the community so that we can be that one-stop information shop for businesses. So just within all your free time, encourage you to to explore that. So anyway, just once again, I want to close with my awe and appreciation for all the work that's being done and for all of you.
Thank you so much.
Diane, I see your hand is up.
Yeah, I certainly second everything that Sophie has said. Absolutely. As you well know, I think the library should be the cornerstone of everything that's happening and be in full knowledge of everything that's going on. And you guys are just doing a terrific job making your place in these strange times and doing ever so well the same work of keeping the library included in all of this. And I want to say, I did hear you say that art and music would be opening on November 7th, and I'm personally particularly glad. Tessa smiling and laughing. I campaign heart constantly with her. So I look forward to that. And I really appreciate that that's on your agenda and that we're moving forward with that. So thanks for the good work you're doing and for the good work that you're going to be doing. Take care.
Thank you.
Well, I'll call on myself since my hand is up. I'm just really amazed at the programs. And you only presented a part of what's going on there, but it's clear that you make a difference in people's lives. And we all need that lately. Life is tough, you know, and anything that the library can do to connect people and help them, it's just great. And it's the presentations were great, and I'm sure the programs are great. It's well done. Well done, all of you.
Thank you. And I just want to put a small plug. Amy put it in the chat, but Jeff has another program that's business related. It's small business grants and Spanish assistance with these business grants in Spanish.
Wow.
So that's something that's starting, that's started.
Sophie, is your hand up or did you not take it down?
I forgot to take it down. I will take it down. Excuse me.
Beverly, I see your hand.
Yeah, and actually, I just thank you, Amy Reeder, for putting that information in the chat regarding the Spanish outreach, the Spanish business programs. And I also just wanted to, I'm sure you're aware of this, there are a number of ethnic chambers around the area. I sort of was wondering, the last time I went to a Berkeley Chamber meeting, it was a little while ago, but in terms of providing additional diverse resources. Again, there are a number of ethnic chambers that are close in around the Bay Area. There's the Oakland African-American Business Chamber. There's the Korean Business Chamber, the Vietnamese, the Alameda County Hispanic Chamber. So again, I think that that these business programs, these are great. Just congratulations. These are excellent programs.
Thank you.
I do not see other hands up. Am I missing anybody? Okay. Thank you very much for coming to the meeting and for presenting. It's truly impressive.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody, for joining Perlita. It was nice to see so many people participate in the presentation. And I also can't help but mention this one program just because it's really fun. Of course, we are an educational institution, and that's extremely important. But I just want to mention this really fun, creative program that looks like it's happening on Friday. And I think it's the first time, maybe other than staff training, or one of the first programs to take place in the mystery room. And it looks like it's a murder mystery interactive program with actors. And I don't know, Perlita, I'm not sure which member of the team put that together. It just sounds like it's really fun and creative, and I wanted to mention it.
Yes, it's Kalea Carswell.
Kalea's program.
Yeah, she's okay. Going to have a couple of actors. They're going to have their outfits. I'm trying to encourage the adult services team to dress up in their best murder mystery outfits. Thanks, Amy Reeder, for that tip. So we'll see how it goes. It should be a fun day. Yeah, check it out.
Too many games of Clue with my kid. I also just wanted to, you know, thank and acknowledge the great work that we've done around recruitment. I mean, you definitely had an opportunity to meet Fabiola, and you know, I'm just so grateful that we're able to offer a multilingual program. I know that the library, I think in the past, did have maybe a Spanish language book group before.
We did. Yes.
And I think it's so important to be able to offer a variety of programs in different languages. And so we're so grateful to have that, the capacity to be able to support that in-house, I think is really tremendous too. So just wanted to put that out there.
Okay, next we have a strategic planning update, and Tess, you are on up.
Thank you very much. So the last time we discussed strategic planning, in November, of course, the board had authorized the resolution to issue an RFP for strategic planning to hire a consultant. And then in April 2022, I came back with the draft request for proposal. We had a good discussion around the proposal itself and the process. We were able to launch the RFP process successfully. And most recently, we had a team of six library staff that evaluated these very dense and interesting proposals on the part of 9 different respondents. And just as a reminder, we did review these proposals on the basis of the following criteria. We looked at the overall project approach, and more specifically, paid very close attention to how the proposal addressed racial equity concerns. We looked at relative expertise, experience, and also references. We did look at cost, although cost is not the primary driver in the decision-making process. And basically, we then made a selection to interview a subset of these 9 respondents. And so we selected 5 consultants. I think we wanted to cast a somewhat broader net. So we had a very lengthy day of interviews on August 23rd. They were very interesting and really different experiences. The kind of character and tenor of each of the conversations was different. And, you know, after conducting the interviews, the panel of staff identified 2 finalists. We were then checking the references for the 2 finalists, as well as asking the finalists some follow-up questions with respect to their community engagement models. So we wanted to learn a little bit more about the community engagement methodology, understand how they developed questions, mm-hmm. How they determined who in the community to speak with. Of course, one of our interview questions in the original interview was trying to get a sense of how each consultancy would address the issue of non-library users, and really making sure that we learn more about the perspective of people that are not currently using the library. Mm-hmm. So all of these things were really important. And then, of course, the city of Berkeley has its own criteria that we need to apply as well. And part of that includes basically I think there is attention to whether or not it's a local business. And mm-hmm. also there's an assessment as part of the RFP packet that sort of looks at the demographic data of each of the firms as well, so that there's reporting in terms of just the ethnic and racial makeup of the employees at each of the firms. And so we're really on the verge of making a decision between these last 2. I have to tell you that they're both fantastic. And so it's a very difficult decision. I think it's a happy decision just because we feel that we're in good hands with either of them. But again, we were so passionate about how each spoke to community engagement and how they were really going to help us understand the perspective of different people in the community. And we feel that we found 2 firms that will do a good job of that. And interestingly, both of these firms have ties within California. So they've done a lot of really good work within California, which I think is important. And one of them has a focus in education, and one of them has a strong focus in local government and sort of government adjacent nonprofits. So I think they both have very relevant experience. But one thing that I think is helpful is neither of these firms is sort of the national leader in library strategic planning. We did interview some of those that have more of the national reputation. And I think, you know, when it came down to it, we were concerned about that being sort of maybe too cookie cutter of approach. We think this is, you know, a unique place, and people really have to be paying attention to the really complex, unique dynamics of this city. You know, particularly just as we look at the way the city's changed and demographic shifts, and making sure that we're really addressing different needs within the community. So we feel that we found 2 excellent firms, and my hope is that by our next board meeting, which is November 2nd, I would be coming to you with an authorization to contract with one of these 2.
Great.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Did you have any questions?
Well, I have a comment, and I think that's a really important point about not necessarily choosing the biggest, the most well-known, the national people, because, you know, in some ways we're kind of small fry here. So we want someone who appreciates us for who we are and wants to be be a part of getting better. So I think that was a wise approach.
Great.
I do not see any other hands. Okay, let's see. So there is no resolution with this. Next month we will perhaps have
good.
Yeah.
Good.
And Tess, you're still at the mic for the monthly director's report.
Thank you.
Sure.
I appreciate it. I do just want to mention that obviously it's been a really difficult time for the library community. And I really feel like I need to speak to that and say that the loss of Amy was just shocking and really destabilizing, understandably, for everybody here. And I think that one of the things, though, that has been heartening to see is the way that staff has
yes.
come together to support each other. I'm so grateful for just, gosh, I mean, really, as the situation was unfolding and, you know, we realized we had to do an assessment of whether or not we could even run the operation, you know, we had staff volunteering, you know, stepping up to say that they would help our circulation team, you know, and of course, staff around the system have been impacted by this, but I think that our circulation team, of course, was deeply impacted, and just to see the generosity of people, you know, volunteering to take over service desks, you know, checking in with each other. We made sure that, you know, of course, people have different responses to this kind of situation, and some people, I think, were really upset and didn't want to interact with the public. Others felt like they actually wanted to be on the desk, or they wanted to be doing something, processing. So people had a wide variety of responses. I do want to acknowledge Jay Dickinson, who's on the call, just because I think that, you know, Jay's the leader of this team, and the way that he showed up for his team was really amazing. And I think he really, the way that he made sure that the information was communicated to people was very intentional and really sensitive. And I really appreciated that. I also want to acknowledge Shanice Jackson, our new social worker. And of course, Shanice is wonderful in terms of working with members of the public. But Shanice spent a lot of time with folks that morning that we found out, and she actually went to one of our branches as well. And it was really lovely for me to just be able to see how she was able to kind of connect with people. And of course, my concern is making sure that she also had some time to I think rest after such intensity, but that was very important. We were able to coordinate some group and individual EAP counseling sessions mm-hmm. for people. So there was grief counseling. We're currently looking into trying to schedule another one online for people that may have not been able to participate in the others. And of course, staff is anxious for more information about what will happen. And we will be providing that as soon as possible. But right now we're really trying to respect that this is a process for Amy's family, and you know, their need for privacy and time to manage this experience, I think is really important. So we've really tried to center that. And I think, you know, continue our work. And just as Trustee Han was saying, you know, we do have this really wonderful work that we have to focus on, you know, that really drives why we're all here. And I do think that being able to refocus on that and make sure that we're providing the service to the community is so important. I did describe in the board packet that we're continuing to work on determining when we can add back our evening hours. I'm really happy to say that our Joint Labor Management Committee has reconvened. So we were able to have a meeting this month, and it's the first meeting that we've had in really quite a long time, several months. And that's just because I think that the union leadership made a decision to temporarily pause all Joint Labor Management Committee meetings in all departments until some concerns had been addressed sort of at the cross city level. And we're just very happy that we were able to have this forum, because I think that this is exactly what this process is for, is to discuss how we're going to implement changes like this. So we did solicit feedback from the Joint Labor Management Committee meeting around the timing of the reintroduction of evening hours. And we had a really good discussion. The team brought up, I think, some significant concerns. And so we've needed to reevaluate when we'll be initiating this process. And we're looking to the new year to be reinstating these evening hours, but we'll be collaborating with this team to determine what the date will be. One of the things that happened, or has been happening, of course, is our recruitment has been critical in determining when we can continue to add back service, because part of the reason why we needed to go into a reduction was because of the loss of staff and needing to make sure that we right-sized our service to the number of staff that we had. And I'm just really happy to report, this is a little bit of a recruitment update, but I do want to highlight this, that we've made some significant headway in terms of our recruitments. And so basically what happened over the past month and a half or 2 months is our HR analyst, Mai, was leading recruitment for this time library specialists and library assistants. And this was a really significant need for us because we had 17 vacancies between these two classifications. And so basically that process is almost complete. And I just wanted to report that by the end of October, 15 of those positions will have started at the library. So that's a really significant change. There's another one of those positions that'll be starting in the new year. And what has happened, and I think it speaks to another positive thing, but also it represents a challenge. What happened was we had 10 internal promotions into those positions, which is really important because it meant that we had a lot of staff that were prepared to move into these positions, which is of course what we want to see. Yeah, but because we had 10 folks, and actually 11 people were promoted, 11 of these were promotional, it just meant that it really increased the number of aid vacancies that we had. And there are, I think, now 15 aid vacancies because we had those 10 promotions into these other positions that opened up that many more vacancies. And so I think because of the timing around that, it meant that if we were to attempt to reopen or reinstate evening hours in November, we would be basically trying to onboard all of these new aides who will be hired by that time, but they'll all be fresh and new because none of those folks will have really worked at our library before, because that's an entry-level position. So we decided collectively that it was important to focus on onboarding and training the staff and then implementing the change so that they're basically ready to participate in the closing that the evening hours requires. So we're very happy that we had those promotions. we kind of knew this would happen. And so we were trying to queue up these recruitments so that we could do them in succession. And I do want to acknowledge Mai's work around this, because she was very intentional around the scheduling and the timing to make sure that we could do this as quickly as we have. And so by mid-November, we project that we will have filled those 8 vacancies, which really leaves us, I think, with 9 vacancies. And some of those are already under recruitment now as well. One of those is the deputy position. We also have an assistant HR analyst, someone to help Mai. We're really happy that Mai's going to get some help. And I think that in terms of public services, there's still a few more public services positions to recruit. But in terms of what has been making it so challenging for us to operate at full capacity, that issue will have been addressed by then. And, you know, that's less than a month away, and we're really happy about that. And we will have Mai come back in a month or two, I think probably in December, to do a more comprehensive report of our recruitment efforts over the past year. But I felt that it was important to provide that context to you around the relationship between the recruitments, the timing, and also what it would require to reopen. But one of the nice things is that because the adult services team that you just met, because they've actually been able to complete their recruitments, we are able to reopen the fifth floor and reintroduce the meeting room access earlier because they're ready to do it. And we're really happy about that. I also just wanted to echo and express my appreciation to the Berkeley Public Library Racial Justice Advisory Group. Perlita, who was, of course, facilitating that last presentation, is one of the members of that group. And I just wanted to acknowledge and thank this team again for identifying Dr. Watson from Bracework as the consultant that we're partnering with to provide the racial equity training and also advising. I think we were really happy that a majority of staff were able to attend one of the two trainings. And we've really heard similarly positive feedback as the trustees conveyed earlier, just that, you know, it's not just the content, but it's you know, Dr. Watson's style. I think the way that she presents the information, the way that people were asked to engage in the training, I think was really important. And people really appreciated that and took it seriously, which I'm happy about. Wanted to call out again at the end of the packet some really excellent programming around Latinx Heritage Month. There's just so many really imaginative and fun programs. And it's just so fun to see the energy and the ideas that all of these staff are presenting, you know, coming from a place of having a shortage of librarians and now being fully staffed is so fantastic to see. And, you know, the last thing I want to mention is unfortunately not positive, but I do want to call it out because there is this trend that's been occurring nationally around threats of violence against U.S. library systems. And now these threats are sort of being assessed together. There's an investigation underway to try to understand what this represents. And I wanted to mention that, unfortunately, there was yet another threat of violence that occurred today that has been reported to Homeland Security. And this time it was Jefferson County, Colorado. So I think that's one of the things that's interesting, is that this is occurring in these different places throughout the country. And you know, we, of course, hope to have a better understanding of what exactly is happening, but it's concerning. And that's why we just want to keep refocusing on our emergency preparedness and training, just to make sure that even in light of these unpredictable circumstances, that people at least feel prepared to manage things like that. So I do want to conclude on that note and ask whether there are any questions.
Beverly.
Thank you. I'll just jump in. So this is all very informative, and I truly appreciate the director reports that come at the end. I do want to suggest that any internal hire who interviews for a position and is not does not get promoted, that part of that cycle include some feedback for the employee as to why they weren't promoted, so that they can get themselves ready to be promoted. So that's just, that's my suggestion. Thank you.
I think that's, we would agree that's extremely important. And that's why the documentation that, you know, we do during interviews is so critical, so that when my offers that feedback, it's actually specific and actionable. And the other thing that we're working on that we really want to strengthen is just providing more resources in terms of interview prep, interview preparation, and application support, because that's going to continue to be really important for internal candidates. And there are some systems that do, I think, a really great job of routinely offering that kind of training support. And we want to make sure that we have something like that in place. So I really appreciate the suggestion.
I do not see anybody else's hand up. Beverly, that's a, who are you pointing? Are you pointing at Sophie? I can't see it. I'm sorry. Sophie, is your
name? Diane.
Yeah.
Has her hand up.
Diane, there you are. Sorry. It's for some reason it's hard to see. Okay, you're muted.
No, I'm not. Okay, great. Okay. Thank you. Thanks, Amy.
Thank you, Beverly.
That reminded me, Tess, that when we had the study of the library and what we were doing well and what we weren't, doing exit interviews was just, we were rated terribly for that. So I hope that in terms of our training and ongoing training and working with staff, we work at the other end of it too and make sure that exit interviews get reestablished again. It just sort of clicked with me as you were saying what you were saying. So just a reminder that that's something we need to improve as well. Thanks.
Yes, we have been providing exit interviews.
Great.
And I think that one of the things that the City of Berkeley, the central HR team is doing is just systematizing how that information would be collected and documented. I think there's an interest in that.
Perfect.
Yeah, thank you.
Great, thanks.
Great, both of those things are really part of staff development, which it rates very high on my list. Yeah. So yeah, I think those are both great suggestions. Okay, now I don't see anybody's hand up. Okay, the next on the agenda is discussion of items to be added to future agendas. So if you wish to make a suggestion, please raise your hand. I don't see you, wave your hand. Okay, I am not seeing anybody's hand at the moment. All right, we already really have been clued into some of the things that will be on next month's agenda. I think that we can make a motion to adjourn. Will somebody
in honor of Amy?
In honor of Amy Dickinson.
Tavistock.
Tavistock. Who is Amy Dickinson? She's like an advice column writer or something. She is. Amy Tavistock, yes, of course. Thank you. So can I have someone move to adjourn?
I so move. Diane?
Okay. A second?
Second.
Thank you, John. I guess we should call the roll.
Amy Roth?
Aye.
Sophie Hahn?
Aye, sorry.
Diane Davenport?
Yes.
Beverly Green?
Yes.
And John Soloski?
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
We stand adjourned. Yeah.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Bye-bye.